Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I want to, before we get started, just take an opportunity. Yesterday at about noonish or so, a little after I got the bulletin finished, Stacy Bishop, Betty's daughter-in-law, contacted me and said that they had Charlene at the Siloam Hospital and that she was battling an infection, and the prognosis just wasn't good. And as the day progressed, they had decided that they had found a room where everyone could come and stay. That included her granddaughter and Amber and anybody that wanted to within the family. So sort of have moved Charlene to a hospice type setting for care. So keep that family in your prayer. Of course, we know Charlene loved this congregation immensely, and I know going and visiting her when we would go and sing, it was always so difficult because she was so sad, I think, every time. She just never quite came to grips with her dementia and stuff like that with her current setting, and it was just a difficult time, and it still is, and it's hard here, But Charlene has big things on her horizon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come with heavy hearts, heavy human hearts, Father, knowing that our time is short with our friend Charlene. Father, as Christians, we know the promise is immense and the reward is great, and we do celebrate that. But in this moment, it is difficult, Father. Pray strength for the family, for your comfort, for your guidance. Pray that for this congregation. We do all these things with the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, and it's in his name. Amen. Well, I guess the good news is we are out of the Sermon on the Mount. For me, anyway, it's been a difficult week. It is good to see you all here this morning, whether in person or on Facebook. I am excited to start this new series. We're going to call it Happy That You Did, or You'll Be Happy That You Did. I'm not real sure what I have up there. I want us to think about maybe like what it is like driving down the road and looking in the rearview mirror, the way that life is sometimes. We look back at some of the choices that we have made, some of the places that we've been, and we look back on them things and we said and the things that we've said and done. Just like if you were driving on the car in a car in a rearview mirror, everything you see in that rearview mirror are places that you have been, places you have gone, roads you have already traveled, choices you have already made. That there's nothing that you can do about those things that are in the rearview mirror. Those things are already things that are done. And sometimes we look back at the choices that we made and we look back with gratitude. And we say, I'm so thankful that I did that. I'm so glad I took that road. I'm so glad I made that choice. And other times we may look back on the past and we look back with regret. And we say, I wish I would have done things differently. And even though I think this series is going to be about the rearview mirror, I don't want it to be about the things that you have already done. I want it to be about realizing that the place that you are in right now, if we were all driving the cars right now going down the road, that we would realize that the place we are currently at will soon be a place in the rearview mirror very soon. The choices that you are making right now, the roads that you are taking right now, the spot that you are in right now, will very soon be in your rearview mirror. So in this moment, the roads you are choosing will be the choices that you look back on very soon with either gratitude, I'm so glad I chose to do that, or with regret about the choices you are making now that I wish I would have done something differently. We like to say hindsight is 2020, and a lot of times when we do that, we're talking about our regrets. I'm sort of thinking that we talk so much about our hindsight being 2020 that we don't even work on our foresight. We don't work on our ability to look ahead and ask ourselves, how am I going to feel about this decision tomorrow? Because pretty soon, again, this moment, this road, these choices will be in your rearview mirror, and you'll either look back with gratitude or with regret. Wisdom is looking at the moment right now and choosing the things that will make you happy later. Making choices to say, I'm going to do this right now because I know tomorrow I'm going to be glad that I did things this way. I read a quote by an author several years ago, and it's always stuck with me. And it said, I don't like writing. And that's sort of a weird thing for an author to say. He said, I don't like writing. I like having written. And I thought about how that applies to so many things. Books don't get written necessarily because the person who wrote them loved doing it in the moment. There's just so many things in life that don't get done just because somebody in the moment likes doing it. They've done it maybe not because they liked doing it in the moment. Maybe they hated doing it. Maybe it was hard. Maybe they had to make sacrifices, but they did it so they could say, I'm happy that I did things that way. So often in our lives, we live in the moment and we do what we want to do is right now, what feels good in the moment. And then tomorrow or sometime in the future, we look back at those choices and say, man, I'd like to have that one back. Wisdom is learning to make decisions right now that we will be happy later that we did. So here's the text that we're going to look at this morning, Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. I think this metaphor about sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting, will help us to think about this idea a little bit better. Paul says to the churches in Galatia, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. And we talked about this about a month ago or so. If you want to eat a fresh garden tomato out of your garden, what do you need to have done a few months before? I'm not a planter, probably a few months before. But you have to plant some tomatoes, right? The only way you're going to eat a fresh tomato out of your garden is if you were to have planted tomatoes in your garden, right? You can't eat fresh grown tomatoes out of your garden unless you plant them. And maybe planting or sowing wasn't what you wanted to do in that moment. But it is what you would have want to have done to look back and say, I'm so glad I planted those tomatoes. I'm so glad that I sowed that seed so now I can reap the harvest. And this is what it's like living a spiritual life. It's not always about what you want to do in the moment. It's about realizing that you are sowing seeds for the future. Paul begins this section here by saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived into thinking that you're going to have the right sort of harvest if you don't do the right sort of planting. Don't allow people to fool you. That's what Paul is dealing with in Galatia. He's dealing with false teachers who had come into the churches of Galatia, and they were teaching these Gentile Christians that in order for them to have the spiritual blessings, then they needed to be circumcised. That was their whole message. If you want to have the spiritual blessings, blessings from God, if you want to take part in the inheritance that God made to Abraham and his children, then you have to be circumcised. And Paul says no. Paul says that's planting fleshly seed and expecting a spiritual harvest. He says God's not going to be mocked. Don't be deceived. You're not going to have the right sort of harvest if you don't plant the right sort of seed. If you want tomatoes in your garden, you have to plant tomatoes. If you want spiritual fruit, then you have to sow spiritual seeds. Don't be deceived into thinking if you sow into the flesh that you are going to reap from the spirit, that you are going to reap what you sow. And if you want the right sort of harvest, then you have to do the right sort of planting. Look at verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. Again, this circumcision group, and in context, this is what Paul is dealing with. That this group is sowing to their own flesh. And in chapter 5, he describes exactly what this sort of thinking will be. He says in Galatians 5:19 through 21 that the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One thing I want you to notice here is that he's talking to religious people. These false teachers, this circumcision group, they were trying to teach Gentile Christians to be circumcised in order to be part of God's family. They were religious people, but they were obsessed. They were consumed with the outward trappings of religion. In this case, circumcision, eating kosher foods, keeping the law of Moses, but they were unconcerned with the heart. They were unconcerned with the character, unconcerned with the transformation that's going on in the heart and in the brain. They were more concerned with the flesh. And Paul says, if that's what your religion is, if the seed that you are sowing is that sort of seed, then this is the harvest you're going to reap. It's going to be corrupt. If you sow to the flesh from the flesh, you will reap corruption. And whether we are talking about idolaters or pagans living sexual immoral lives in the first century world or in today's world, or whether we are talking about religious people who are obsessed and consumed with the outward appearance, with the outward trappings of religion, the appearance of being pious and religious, or we're talking about worldly fleshly behaviors, or religious fleshly behaviors, it's all sowing to the flesh, and from the flesh, they'll all reap corruption. If you sow toxic seeds, you will reap a toxic harvest. And that's exactly what they were doing. That's why there were things like enmity and strife and jealousy and fits of anger and rivalries and dissensions and divisions and envy and all of these fleshly things. Paul says, listen, don't sow to the flesh, but sow to the Spirit. And from the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. What does that mean? What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Well, it means everything that Paul has been saying in his letters to Galatians. Chapter 3:27, clothe yourself with Jesus in baptism. Be baptized into Jesus and trust him for your justification. That you are in right standing with God, not because of circumcision, not because you wear the right clothes, eat the right food, observe the right holidays, but because you trust and follow Jesus. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Bear one another's burdens. This is sowing to the Spirit. And what you do when you are baptized into Jesus and you trust that you are in a right standing relationship with God because of your faith in Christ, and you bear one another's burdens, and you love one another as you do yourself, then chapter 5 of Galatians, then you are sowing to the Spirit. And from the Spirit, he says, you will reap eternal life. Look at verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So he hasn't changed metaphors here. We're still talking about sowing and reaping. And this helps us to understand what it is to sow to the Spirit. What's he say? He says, do good. Do good things. Do good things to other people. This is sowing to the Spirit. This is planting spiritual seeds. And he says, we will reap. We will have a good harvest if we do not give up. I think that there's something that we need to point out here. I think sometimes when we talk about sowing to the Spirit versus sowing to the flesh, we might think that we're talking about physical activities versus non-physical activities. Like Paul is saying, it's not about what you do, it's about what's in your heart and just these internal things. That's not right. He's saying sowing to the Spirit is doing good. In the name of Jesus, doing good, maybe changing someone's tire, making a meal for someone, giving shelter to someone that doesn't have any, food and drink to the hungry and thirsty, clothes for the naked. These are physical things, but they are sowing to the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. This is what the Spirit's fruit look like. Doing good to other people. This is what it looks like to sow to the Spirit. So we're not talking about physical behavior versus non-physical behavior. We're talking about fleshly behavior, carnal behavior versus spiritual behavior. And then he says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. And of course, he doesn't mean here that if we do enough good, that we're going to save ourselves, or that we can earn our salvation if we do enough good. He's not talking about earning your salvation. The entire book of Galatians makes it abundantly clear that we are saved by God's grace through faith, and that we are justified by faith in Jesus. So we don't do good to earn our salvation. It means that we are participating with the Spirit to bring new creation. And that's what it's all about. It's about participating with the Spirit of God to bring new creation. Sowing seeds to new creation everywhere you go, doing good. You see, this world, the old world, the world that is passing away, the world in which people continue to sow, both in Paul's day and in our day, seeds that are fleshly: violence, jealousy, division, pride, anger. Just try to picture that in your mind. So I always think of that sower on the campus of the University of Oklahoma that's out planting seeds, that statue. Imagine sowing seeds of darkness and evil. When these toxic seeds are planted, the seeds of the world that is passing away, seeds of anger and seeds of violence and division and hate and all of this envy, what kind of fruit are they going to get from that sort of planting? What sort of harvest will they have when that's the sort of sowing that they are doing? What will they reap? Paul says corruption. He says that's what you get when you sow violence, when you sow jealousy, when you sow anger and division and racism and pride, and you sow hate, you're going to reap corruption. When you plant toxic seeds, you get toxic fruit. He says that this is the kind of seeds that have been planted. This is the kind of seed that are planted by those who participate in fleshly things. But you as Christians have been changed in Jesus. We should be people that don't grow tired in doing good, sowing to the Spirit, and in due time, we will reap in due season if we don't give up. If you're going to get to the point, or we want to get to the point where we look in the mirror and we say, I'm so glad that I participated with the Spirit. And then he says in verse 10, so then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to who? Everyone, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. This is what we are doing. New creation people planting new creation seeds. Sowing to the Spirit. And if we keep on sowing to the Spirit, not because it's necessarily what we want to do in the moment, there are times when we have the opportunity to do good. To take someone a meal, to call someone on the phone, to change a tire or food or drink or shelter. And there are times when we do not want to do that in the moment. But we have to realize that we are sowing seeds. We're sowing seeds of a new creation. We're taking the Spirit's work everywhere we go. And the harvest is the Spirit's fruit. We mentioned those: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and for Christians, eternal life. Look at verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. This letter was so incredible, important to Paul, that he was so passionate about it that he wanted to write it down himself and to make sure that you knew, or that they knew, that it was coming from him. He says that it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. And the only order, listen here, that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. And do you see those two things? This group of Judaizers were trying to convince Gentile followers of Jesus that in order to be part of the family of God, you have to be circumcised. Why were they doing it? Well, number one, to avoid persecution themselves. And two, to be able to boast. They weren't keeping the whole law, but they said, you know, we're pretty much being on the same team here. We're all Jewish. We're all followers of the law of Moses. Even these Gentiles over here, we got them to get circumcised. And Paul says it's just because they want to avoid persecution themselves and they want to vote and they want to boast. Fear and pride are their motivation. Fear avoiding persecution and pride the ability to boast in these outward trappings of religion. To say this circumcision part, these people that are saying and doing this and insisting on this, they are sowing to the flesh. That they are sowing the seeds of the old world. The world that's passing away, and it's just as futile and it's just as destructive and it's just as toxic as idolatry and as sexual immorality. All of this, this focus on the flesh, this focus on the outward appearance, this getting caught up in the appearance of keeping the law while our hearts remained unchanged by the Spirit's work. Verse 14 says, "But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a," and you see what it says there, "a new creation." I've been crucified to this world. Paul says, I've been crucified to this sowing to the flesh. Saul of Tarsus spent plenty of time sowing to the flesh. The works of his flesh were evident. The anger, the division, the jealousy, the violence. But now he says, I've been crucified to the world and the world has been crucified to me. It doesn't matter whether or not you were circumcised. He says, my circumcision counts for nothing and your uncircumcision means nothing. All that matters is that you are found in Jesus. All that matters is that you are in Christ, and if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. If you are part of the new creation, if that's true, if it's true that you are part of a new creation, then stop allowing these people to confuse you and to deceive you into thinking that you need to keep sowing to the flesh. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep sowing to the Spirit even on days when you don't feel like it, even on days when you're tempted not to. Don't grow weary in doing good. Keep doing good. Keep loving everyone. Keep doing good to everyone. And as you have the opportunity, do good to everyone, especially to your brothers and sisters, the household of faith. And know that when you do good, when you love your neighbor, when you bear one another's burdens, that you are sowing to the Spirit. You are participating with the Spirit in bringing new creation. And again, picture these seeds being sown to the flesh as corrupt, toxic seeds. You could see the green fumes coming up from the ground as they grow. It's toxic and it's broken. And we can see the results of those seeds everywhere we look around in our world. We see all of this sowing to the flesh, both the secular and the religious sowing to the flesh. Nothing has really changed from then until now. There are those that are caught up in the appearance of being religious. The works of the flesh are evident. Anger, jealousy, envy, dissension, greed, corruption, toxic, brokenness everywhere. Then there are the followers of Jesus who shine a light in the midst of a broken and corrupt generation, who are empowered by the Spirit and are walking by the Spirit, and everywhere they go, they are planting spirits, they are planting new seed creations. Not because, again, it's what they want to do always in the moment, but they know one day that they're going to be able to look back and say, I'm so happy that I sowed to the Spirit and not to the flesh. So let's end with this morning. The seed you grow today will be the fruit you eat tomorrow. If you sow toxic seeds today, you're going to reap toxic fruit tomorrow. If you sow healthy seeds, you will reap healthy fruit tomorrow. We don't always plant because it's what we want to do today. We plant, we sow these seeds because we want to look back and say, I'm sure glad I did things that way. I'm sure so happy that I sowed to the spirit and not to the flesh. I don't think we have a circumcision party today. I don't know of any group going around telling Christians that if they want to be followers of Jesus, that they have to keep this law of Moses. There's just not a big push out there. But that's probably not a big influence in your life. But there is. Everywhere you turn, every time you turn on your TV or social media or you listen to friends and family, chances are you're going to hear someone that encourages you to sow to the flesh, to do what you feel like doing, to do what seems right in the moment, to engage in sexual immorality or idolatry or jealousy or fits of anger or rivalries or dissensions or enviness or drunkenness. Everywhere we turn, we have these voices influencing us to sow to the flesh. But we also have the Spirit of God saying, don't do that. Don't sow to the flesh, because if you do, you're going to reap corruption. You cannot sow those seeds and expect to reap a different fruit. If we go around like the world sowing toxic seeds, we are participating in reaping toxic fruits. But the Spirit of God empowers us to live a different way, a new way of being human beings, a new seed to grow, where we can look back on today without regret. To look back maybe on this whole year, this whole time that we've had, and say, I'm glad I had the opportunity to do good by those people. I'm glad that I took the opportunity to walk by the Spirit. I'm glad I helped carry my brother's burden. I'm glad that I loved my neighbor. I'm glad that I used this opportunity to do good. I'm glad that I sowed seeds of faith. I'm glad that I sowed seeds of love. We all have things in our rearview mirrors that we can say, I wish I could have that one back. I wish I would have chosen a different path. We can all look back with regret. But we can also know that because of Jesus, if we are clothed in him in baptism, that he makes us right with God. He washes away our sins. We are forgiven in him. So the question isn't, what do you see in your rearview mirror today? It's what will you see in your rearview mirror tomorrow? When you look back at today, what seeds will you have sown? Will you have sown to the flesh, or will you have sown to the Spirit? Because remember, the seeds you sow today are the fruit you will eat tomorrow. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision, to become a follower of Christ, to be in that right standing relationship with God. Maybe you are a Christian and you found your walk difficult at times and need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Now would be an opportune time. Maybe you've fallen away and you want to take this time to rededicate your life back to following Jesus. Whatever the case may be, make that need known as together we stand and we sing.